now.
Hurricane pandemic prep, benefits lost. I'm Barbara Cusack. Hurricane Isaias drenched the Bahamas and has its eye on the Florida coast this weekend. Correspondent Randy Kaye says the state's readiness has an added layer considering the coronavirus pandemic.
The governor is saying that the state is ready. He says that we have enough PPE supplies. He says there's 20 million masks, 22 million gloves, 1.6 million face shields, 20,000 thermometers, and more than 9 million bottles of water. So he says we are prepared.
The House Speaker not seeing eye to eye with Senate Republican tactics and offering a temporary extension of expired unemployment benefits in lieu of a more comprehensive plan.
The Senate Republican majority offered the temporary extension of about a week and then left town. That was a flawed approach, says Speaker Pelosi.
When you have a six-day or one-week extension on a provision, it's usually, it has always been, to accommodate the legislative process.
Pelosi says the piecemeal approach offered by the Senate majority doesn't begin to help all of the people who need it. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
An executive order may be coming from President Trump as early as today to ban TikTok in the U.S. Trump told reporters he may do it as pressure is mounted on the video app's Chinese owner to sell it. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of continued construction of a portion of President Trump's border wall.
Environmental groups had asked the high court to lift an order that allowed the government to continue building the wall pending appeals. The court ruled in favor of the Trump administration, though 5-4. Government attorneys cited a provision in law that authorized the transfer of military funds in emergencies.
And that's correspondent Clayton Neville. Grocery chain Trader Joe's says that it will not be changing ethnic-sounding labels on its line of Mexican, Chinese, and other international foods. After all, it said the labels are not racist. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text MONEY to 411-411, and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Coca-Cola out with a new morning brew for you.
The new drink, Coca-Cola with coffee, will combine regular Coke with Brazilian coffee. Three different flavors will be offered in 12-ounce cans: dark blend, vanilla, and caramel. Each can will have 69 milligrams of caffeine. That's compared with 34 milligrams in regular Coke and 46 milligrams in Diet Coke. Coke said in a press release that customers are more open to trying new category-crossing drinks. I'm Kevin Delaney.
A warning came from the commissioner of Major League Baseball to union leader Tony Clark on Friday. ESPN says Rob Manfred said if the league and players don't do a better job following COVID-19 protocols, then he could shut down the shortened season. MLB reported 29 players and team staff tested positive this week. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Guys, who needs an untucked shirt right now? How about anyone who's considering putting on real clothes for the first time in months? At Untuck It, we design shirts to be worn untucked, so comfort is our thing. Our shirts are the perfect blend of comfort and polish, so the next time you have to roll out of bed and straight into a Zoom call, reach for an Untucked shirt instead. Save 30% off all linen shirts now at untuckit.com or your nearest Untucked store. Untucked, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit GiveWestwood.org. GiveWestwood.org.
WMAL traffic. I'm Michelle Murray, traveling on 66 westbound between the Beltway and Nutley Street. There has been overnight road work along the left side that should be clearing soon. But right now, still a lot of slow traffic through that area. Now, they are in the process of picking up the work zone as you continue westbound between 123 and Fair Oaks. Also, keep in mind in Bethesda that due to a water main break on Old Georgetown Road, northbound before the Beltway, the right lane is closed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. Although it's muggy out there, now is the time to get your outdoor activities done. We're tracking scattered storm chances for the afternoon and evening, some of which could be strong to severe. As far as temperatures go, we'll reach highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the 90s, back into the 90s Sunday, feeling over 100. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
The economy is changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Apple has won a big court case
Netflix.
In Europe. A streaming service says it added 10 million
Bill
subscribers.
Bill Gates is warning that future coronavirus vaccines... I'm Justin Ho for the Marketplace Minute. Give us just a minute of your time, and we'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the economy, three times a day. We'll tell you what you need to know and why it matters, all in 60 seconds. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute, or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, who needs an untucked shirt right now? How about anyone who's considering putting on real clothes for the first time in months? At Untuck It, we design shirts to be worn untucked, so comfort is our thing. Our shirts are the perfect blend of comfort and polish, so the next time you have to roll out of bed and straight into a Zoom call, reach for an Untucked shirt instead. Save 30% off all linen shirts now at untuckit.com or your nearest Untucked store. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org. Givewestwood.org.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL. Montgomery County Ride-On Bus Service is here to keep you connected. All 79 routes are now back in operation. The frequency of some routes will reflect demand. New systems are in place for safer rides. Please board through the rear doors unless you need the ramp or have a disability. Face coverings are required and available. All buses are thoroughly cleaned and will limit their capacity so riders can social distance. We are focused on your safety. Learn more at rideonbus.com. Ride on. We are here to get you there.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our weekend special. Save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing and free premium delivery on most beds when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And what a week in Washington it was. And we have it covered from all the different angles. Man, we're going to talk with Carrie Pickett. She's a senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. We'll get the very latest on where we are on the negotiations between the Republicans and the Democrats over the coronavirus relief package. We'll also talk with Carrie on some of the other things going on in D.C., including the Capitol Hill, I don't know what you want to call it, the debacle of the Democrats in the bar hearing when they dragged the Attorney General in and spent 5.5 hours of utter disrespect and chaos. And even the Democrats thought the Democrats looked bad on that one. Jerry Nadler got some negative reviews from even Democrats. So we'll get into that with Kerry Pickett this morning. We'll also talk with Jim Trusty as well from his perspective as an attorney and a prosecutor, how he felt about the way the hearings went with Attorney General Barr. So interesting conversation coming up with Jim this morning. We'll also talk with Jim Trusty about the news breaking late yesterday that the Boston Marathon bomber, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, well, a federal appeals court has vacated his death sentence. Looks like there will be another hearing on where that will go and another trial possibly, and we'll get Jim Trusty's read on that situation and what's going on in Boston. So an important conversation there coming up with Jim Trusty this morning. We are going to talk with John Gizzi, and we'll get the White House perspective on what's going on the coronavirus relief package negotiations. We're going to get John Gizzi's read as well on Herman Cain. And we'll be talking with KT McFarland a bit later on this morning. She was a close friend of Herman Cain. And also want to talk with KT about President Trump, his style of messaging, some of the things he came out with this week in terms of delaying the election when he talked about that with a big question mark on it, but certainly caused a flurry of controversy. And then his announcement last night that he's very much considering banning TikTok in the United States. You know, that's the app that a lot of concerns about security. It's something that we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about as well on the national security side of it. So that's just some of the conversation we'll have this morning. Some interesting polls are out. We're going to talk with Jennifer Harper about those. They show a little bit different picture than what we've been hearing in the mainstream media about Joe Biden being out by double digits, being out front by double digits. So we're going to talk with Jennifer Harper about that. There's a new book out on identity politics, and you'll find that very interesting. And one more that we're going to talk with Jennifer about, and we'll just leave this as a tease, the Republican candidate that tackled a terrorist. So we'll just leave that one hanging, and we'll get to Jennifer Harper within the next half hour. So we won't leave you in limbo too long on that. Well, the country is in limbo this weekend over the coronavirus relief package. Now, you would think with the weeks that we've had to get this worked out between Republicans and Democrats, that they may have closed the gap somewhere between the $1 trillion package Republicans are proposing and the $3 trillion package the Democrats are proposing. I mean, we're only $2 trillion off, so that should be very easy to work out, one would think. So what is going on? Well, here's how the chief of staff of the White House, Mark Meadows, summed it up yesterday.
The president has sent us back not once, not twice, but three different times to try to find some common ground. And what we've found from our Democrat negotiators is that they are bumping the price higher than the very bill that they passed out of the House several weeks ago.
So where does the Speaker of the House see things?
They, and perhaps the White House, do not understand the gravity of the situation. This is a freight train that is picking up steam and picking up speed. That acceleration is not a good thing. It must be stopped.
Well, how does President Trump feel about all this?
The Democrats do not care about the people of our country. They don't want to do what you should be doing for the people of our country, whether it's unemployment or anything else. The Democrats are playing for November 3rd. And we're playing for the good of the people.
So that's where we stand. There is a meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. At least it was scheduled as of late last night, so we'll hope that they go ahead with it. That will include the Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin. It'll also include Mark Meadows, the Chief Staff of the White House, as we said, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leadership, and they say it will only be four of them in the meeting. We'll see how that plays out. That's supposed to start at 9 o'clock this morning. Well, it's 6:14 right now, and it's time for a check of the traffic and weather. And we got Michelle Murray in the WML Traffic Center this morning.
Overall, it's a quiet ride on the Beltway this morning so far throughout Maryland and Virginia. On the inner loop at 66, that road work has been picked up. On the inner loop at Central Avenue, the off-ramp is closed with the long-term work zone there. Now, on 66 westbound, looks like they have picked up the work zone between the Beltway and Nutley Street and the other one in Fair Oaks. And looks like the delays have eased on 66. Keep in mind, in Bethesda, the northbound lanes of Old Georgetown Road at the Beltway, right lane is blocked because of a broken water main. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. Although it's muggy out there, now is the time to get your outdoor activities done. We're tracking scattered storm chances for the afternoon and evening, some of which could be strong to severe. As far as temperatures go, we'll reach highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the 90s, back into the 90s Sunday, feeling over 100. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
73 degrees at 6:15 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And we continue on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Very glad you've joined us. And what an amazingly contentious week in the nation's cap. I mean, they're always contentious, but even, you know, eulogizing at funerals, where you typically have a eulogy that is for a funeral, but this one turned into a political, it was like a campaign rally that President Obama held. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But this is one that President Trump really lit the match on this week. And that was when he had that little question mark at the end of his tweet about, gee, with all the problems with mail-in ballots, maybe we should delay the election with a big question mark on it. And, wow, that got things going. And, of course, Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, was peppered with questions at the White House about that. Here's an exchange with NBC's Peter Alexander, and I think she makes an interesting point in here.
What is the White House doing to get more resources for funding and staff to make sure, as the president says, that it will be a secure and safe election?
Well, as you know, Peter, states run their elections, and it is up to states
and
to make sure that they have the capacity. But what this White House is focused on is ensuring that what Jeffrey Toobin has said over at the New Yorker, CNN contributor, notably, New York's primary vote count chaos signals trouble for November. And as he noted, you want to talk about the president, but Jeffrey Toobin himself. Democrats control the state government of New York. They are responsible for creating the fiasco that is unfolding now, and that is certain to get worse in November. States need to get their acts together when it comes to elections. And as we see in New York, where we're 5 weeks out from that election, and in fact, we still don't know the outcome of a congressional race, and that is certainly not what we want to see.
And I'm asking you.
It's amazing. They're promoting mail-in ballots, and they still haven't sorted out a simple congressional primary in the state of New York. I mean, if anybody could get it right, you would think maybe they could get it right in New York, but no. All right, so I don't know how to sum this up. It's just surprising to me that this played out the way it did, but it is what it is. John Lewis recognized this week and many, many tributes around the country. And funeral service held in Atlanta. And President Obama was doing the eulogy. And he went in this direction. And I'll just give you a little sample of it. And it got quite a response across various media platforms. Conservative media really had a response to this. Only because it was at a funeral. This was not a Biden campaign rally, which is what it sounds like. This is a funeral.
But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick.
So that's just a sample of it, and that's President Obama at the John Lewis funeral.
As we said, it got quite a response. It got this response from President Trump as he boarded the helicopter yesterday.
Well, he did a bad job for minorities. I did much more for minorities than he did. And if you look at our numbers prior to the plague coming in, and those numbers will soon be back, you'll see I did a much better job than Obama did by far for African Americans, for Asian Americans, for women, for any group you look at, far better than Obama did.
All right, so that's President Trump's response. You may have seen or heard portions of the coronavirus hearings that were held yesterday on Capitol Hill, the members of the coronavirus task force appearing before the House. And this is Maxine Waters. Now, she starts into this as an expression of condolences to the family of Herman Cain. But listen to where Maxine Waters goes with this.
And let me just tell you, this virus is not Democrat or Republican. I'm going to send my condolences to the family of Herman Cain, who was a presidential candidate, who is a good friend of the president's, who happened to have been at the rally in Tulsa June 20th with no mask on, with a group of people around him with no mask on, and he's dead. He died. I'm told that he was in good health. And that he, of course, contacted the virus as a result of his attendance and without a mask there. So my condolences to his family.
That's Congressman Maxine Waters, who is now, a doctor. And she is now also a specialist on contact tracing, since she has proclaimed that Herman Cain got the coronavirus at the rally. What was supposed to be condolences turned out to be a scolding. What will they think of next? 6:22 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Did you know that homeowners now control $14.4 trillion in tappable home equity? Hi, I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and this rise in appreciation has led to record numbers of people using their homes as ATMs. With the elimination of some HELOCs being tax deductible, credit card debt on the rise, and interest rate increases looming, now is the time to act if you're looking to fix your house up, eliminate PMI, or take cash out for any reason. Even if you're working with another company, use us as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your family, whether a purchase or a refinance, and ask about our Hometown Heroes program. We guarantee we'll meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions apply. Call now at 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com.
NMLS ID 1832653, consumeraccess.org.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, "Is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store?" Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Glad you joined us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. And you know, we talk sometimes about, you don't really want to see the sausage how it's made. You know, it's fine to eat the sausage, but you don't want to see how they make the sausage. Well, if you didn't catch any of the hearings of the House Judiciary Committee with the Attorney General William Barr, we've got a few choice clips to give you a sense of how that went for 5.5 hours. Here's how it started. This is the chairman, Jerry Nadler, congressman from New York.
In this moment, real leadership would entail de-escalation, collaboration, and looking for ways to peaceably resolve our differences. Instead, you used pepper spray and truncheons on American citizens. You did it here in Washington. You did it at Lafayette Square. You expanded to Portland. And now you are projecting fear and violence nationwide in pursuit of obvious political objectives. Shame on you, Mr. Barr.
Can I just say, Mr.
Shame on you.
Can I just
My time has expired.
Shame on you. Well, shame on you, Jerry. It's a very lame performance on your part. All right. Congressman Hank Johnson. Now, the thing is that they ask Barr questions, but then they would never let him answer them. So they throw this kind of, you know, political message out with a question, but they don't let him answer. This is an example of how that went for 5 hours. This is Congressman Hank Johnson.
You filed a pleading with the court stating that the sentence recommendation would be changed and that you would be asking for a lighter sentence for Roger Stone. Isn't that correct?
No, what is correct is that, what is correct that on February 10th, Monday, I gave instructions as to what the...
Reclaiming my time.
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Well, you gotta let him answer.
Reclaiming my time.
All right, it continued.
You filed a sentencing recommendation hours after President Trump tweeted his dissatisfaction with the Stone recommendation. And you changed that recommendation.
No, the night before, that is Monday night.
I know your story, but I'm asking.
Well, I'm telling my story. That's what I'm here to do.
Well,
I do. That's why I'm here. Well, I'm here to tell my story. And on the night before, on February 10th,
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time. And I know you don't want to answer, but the facts are clear.
Reclaiming my time is the new mantra of the Democratic Party. Interesting, Barr did get some in when he was questioned by Republicans. So this a couple of good ones here from the Attorney General just to give you a sense of when he did get to talk. Here's what he had to say.
What makes me concerned for the country is this is the first time in my memory that the leaders of one of our great two political parties, the Democratic Party, are not coming out and condemning mob violence and the attack on federal courts. Why can't we just say, you know, the violence against federal courts has to stop? Could we hear something like that?
Here's an interesting question from Doug Collins, the Republican from Georgia.
Do you think that this body right here would rise up if they decided to go tonight and paint the Capitol building?
This body, I'm not sure.
I think this side would. I'm not sure. this side, other side, I'm not so sure. It may be the peaceful protest to burn down the Capitol. Maybe we're back to 1812 again.
And this is a gem. Now, what happened? Jerry Nadler was on the way to the hearing in the morning, and he was involved in an automobile accident. And there were no injuries, but he was somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour late. So that kind of messed up the day. It messed up everybody's meal schedule. And late in the afternoon, the Attorney General asks the chairman, Jerry Nadler, for a five-minute break. Here's what happens.
Can we take a five-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
No.
That's a common courtesy,
Dean
Mr. Chairman, of every witness.
I waited 45 an hour for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a five-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. We can certainly take a break. But
you're real class.
Well,
okay. Yeah.
If you still want one, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
You want it now?
And you just mentioned
committee,
rudeness.
Committee
I think we're
stand,
seeing it on display. Let's let the Attorney General have a break.
Wow, 5.5 hours of that on Capitol Hill, and they wonder why nothing gets done in Washington. It is 6:29. You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAO. We'll talk with Jennifer Harper coming up next.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
Our homes today are like little cities full of different interneting boroughs, like the entertainment district in the living room, or the virtual fitness center in the garage. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the fastest speed to power all your devices at once. You get coverage around town, from the financial district home office to the spa. Plus, get added protection to help keep your Wi-Fi network safe, like an at-home police station.
Xfinity Internet keeps your little city humming with reliable speed, coverage, and added security. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. You'll get fast, reliable speed and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now, you can get advanced security free when you get the XFi Gateway. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Ends 9/21/20. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Limited to Performance Pro Internet with up to 200 megabits per second download speed. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
In a check of the news at this hour, President Trump says he may take action as soon as today to ban TikTok. It's a popular Chinese-owned video app that has been a source of national security and censorship concerns. Trump's comments yesterday aboard Air Force One came after published reports that the administration is planning to order China's ByteDance to sell TikTok. There were also reports that Microsoft is in talks to buy the app. TikTok says it does not comment on rumors or speculation. TikTok has said it has tens of millions of U.S. users and hundreds of millions globally, but its Chinese ownership has raised concerns about censorship of videos and the potential for sharing user data with Chinese officials. Hurricane Isaias is ripping shingles off roofs and blowing over trees as it carves its way through the Bahamas. It is headed toward the Florida coast. Officials in Miami are closing beaches, marinas, and parks. Officials in Miami have 20 evacuation centers on standby that could be set up with COVID-19 safety measures. Authorities in North Carolina ordering people to evacuate Ocracoke Island beginning tonight. Residents on several islands in the Bahamas have also been told to leave their homes. The White House and GOP allies may get a little softer on their opposition to the $600 a week supplemental unemployment benefit that has propped up the economy and family budgets, but did expire yesterday. The idea is a prominent feature of top-level Washington talks set to continue this morning at 9 o'clock. It's all about the COVID-19 response measure. Two sides took their case to the media Friday, and as we played those clips earlier, you heard the comments of Chief of Staff Mark Meadows accusing Democrats of refusing to negotiate, while Speaker Pelosi said a short-term extension only makes sense if agreement is near on a larger relief bill. It's 6:33, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Still a little heavy volume on 66 westbound between the Beltway and Nutley Street, but that road work should be picking up at this time, and the earlier road work on the westbound side at Fair Oaks has been cleared. Elsewhere, traffic is moving well along the Capitol Beltway this morning throughout Maryland and Virginia. Just keep in mind on the inner loop at Central Avenue, the off-ramp is closed for the long-term work zone. And also keep in mind in Bethesda that on northbound Old Georgetown Road before the Beltway, right lane is still blocked due to a water main break in the area. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. Although it's muggy out there, now is the time to get your outdoor activities done. We're tracking scattered storm chances for the afternoon and evening, some of which could be strong to severe. As far as temperatures go, we'll reach highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the 90s, back into the 90s Sunday, feeling over 100. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
73 degrees, 6:34 on the Saturday morning update.
My favorite morning routine is stabbing myself in the eyes when putting my contacts in.
Oh, my God, I was so pumped up today when my toddler stepped on my glasses, snapped them right in two. Awesome.
I finally got it down. Put my mask on, breathe, wipe my glasses off. Doesn't that sound great for the next 8 hours?
At LASIK Plus, we help free patients from the hassles of glasses and contacts so they can live life the way they want. Our team has performed over 2 million procedures and treat every patient with the individualized care they deserve. Don't you want to be done with your hassles? Call LASIK Plus today at 844-261-2020 to schedule your free LASIK consultation. Right now, we're extending our 20% friends and family discount to patients treated in August who mention this ad. Get rid of your hassles and save hundreds today. That's 844-261-2020 or LASIKplus20.com. 20% discount applies to Wavelight procedure with lifetime plan. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in August 2020 to qualify. Results may vary. See details at LASIKplus20.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
It is the Saturday morning update. Thank you for joining us, and we thank Jennifer Harper for joining us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
I know you wrote a story this week, Uncomfortable Talking About Politics in Public. Well, we know Senator Jim Inhofe isn't, but some people are. Tell us the gist of your story.
Yes, indeed. I think a whole lot of people are actually very uncomfortable about talking about politics in public. If you feel that way, you are absolutely not alone, because Americans are now tending to keep their politics to themselves for a lot of reasons. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if you were expressing your admiration, say, for President Trump in public? But a lot of people are very unnerved by all of that amid our cancel culture and all the particularly hostile political opinions that are out there. Anyway, let's get down here to the bottom of all of this, and that is the fact that free speech is already falling victim to this cancel culture that we're all in. And here's a very sizable poll here from the Cato Institute. We haven't talked about them a whole lot, but they have determined that nearly two-thirds of Americans, that is 62%, now agree that the current political climate prevents them from revealing what they believe in, and they are fearful of either offending or angering anyone who might disagree with them. And these fears, the poll found, they cross partisan lines. Majority of Democrats, independents, and Republicans, Democrats 52%, Republicans 77%, all agree that they're just not going to talk about politics in public anymore, except, Rick, one particular demographic, and I will quote the poll directly. Strong liberals stand out as the only political group who feel that they can express themselves. Nearly 6 in 10 of staunch liberals feel that they can say what they believe. So I don't know what all that means, but I'm sure our listeners have run into this. And it says that centrist liberals feel differently. A slim majority, 52% of liberals, feel that they have to self-censor, as do 64% of moderates and 77% of conservatives. So definitely Republicans and conservatives feel this in a more pronounced way. This was a survey of 2,000 U.S. adults from the Cato Institute conducted July 1 through 6.
Conservative activists, we've seen a lot of them. They're very prominent on television. What are they up to?
Well, this is a very unique group. They're a very large and active group, and they are called the Walkaway Campaign. This was founded last year, And essentially their mission is to persuade disgruntled Democrats and folks from all sorts of ethnicities and callings that generally favor Democrats. They're asking them, walk away. Walk away from the Democrats if you are disgruntled and dissatisfied. They've had a lot of luck. They have lots and lots of testimonies of people that walked away from the Democratic Party, and now they're very happy and engaged in politics again. But they have launched a whole series of Rescue America rallies. That's what they're calling them. And according to Brandon Estreka, he is the founder of all of this, he says, it is time to take our country back from radical leftists. We have to show moderate Democrats that they have a movement to join where they are welcome to once again engage in common sense, love of country, and American kindness and decency. How about that? That's coming from Brandon Straka again. He says America is in such trouble now and needs us very much. Not only is she being savagely attacked by radicals, but the Democrats and liberal media are helping to cover it all up. Let's take out the trash together, he says, and get these people out of power. He also says, we will no longer tolerate the destruction of property and lives, the vilifying of law enforcement, and the weaponization of tragedies. Our silence has been our consent. It is time for the silent majority to become unsilent. And they have, again, launched the Rescue American rallies. Their second one is tomorrow in Sacramento, California. If you're curious about this group, it's simply walkawaycampaign.com. But I like the language they use, and I think they have a lot of imagination, too.
Many presidential polls, but many inconsistencies among those polls. You've got one that has President Trump ahead of Joe Biden?
Yes, indeed. And I do take notice of these polls. They don't get a lot of news coverage for all of the obvious reasons here. But I paid attention to this one because it is from 11,000 respondents, and it was conducted not by a political pollster. It was conducted by a very serious marketing group, so I paid attention to it. Anyway, this sizable poll is offering some very promising news for President Trump, even though he is constantly said, oh, well, he's way behind Biden. Biden has a double-digit lead and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he's got a 5 percentage point over Mr. Biden in this survey of 11,000 people. You know, it's not a gigantic lead, but it's a lead, and it's there, and it's above the 3 percentage points that people argue about. And here are the straightforward numbers. 34% of the respondents, and these are all not just Republicans or Democrats, 34% of them want Mr. Trump to remain in the office. 29% would want Mr. Biden to take up residence there. But here's the other part of the poll that I'm always interested. Another 16% are undecided. And a fifth of them don't plan to vote at this time, which means there's a huge opportunity for Republican strategists to get those undecided or unmotivated people and say, hey, you know, come on, why should you vote Republican? You know, we'll see how that works out. But it just is a very fluid finding, but it's an interesting one. Again, it's actually a poll of 11,397 U.S. adults. It was conducted July 17 through 24 by the What If Media Group. This is a New Jersey-based organization. They track both consumer and voter preferences, and another very interesting finding.
Well, we're certainly hearing a lot about identity politics. There's a new book, shed some light on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, identity politics is one of these phrases that gets bandied about a lot. And I thought, I'm just going to look that up in the dictionary and see what the dictionary has to say. And according to the Oxford Dictionary, this is a very handy definition of identity politics, is a tendency for people of a particular religion, race, social background, etc., to form exclusive political alliances, moving away from traditional broad-based party politics. Just so we all know what that means. And anyway, a gentleman named Mike Gonzalez, he's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He has a very significant book out, just published on Friday, actually, yesterday, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. This is from Encounter Books. And he says, we have identity politics today because our government has created ethnic and sexual categories whose members have been instilled with resentments against their country and its system and given real financial benefits for nursing their grievances. insisting on group grievances thereby perpetuates the identity groups. If we stop this vicious cycle, we may be able to free ourselves from the grip of identity politics. It's a thoughtful book. You might want to take a peek. And he says the identity collectives have done nothing to alleviate the very real racial discrimination and social injustice that continues to exist in America, nor were they intended to do so, but have only exacerbated them. That's, again, coming from Mike Gonzalez. The book is called The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free.
Here's a headline that's a real tease. This Republican candidate tackled a terrorist.
Yes. Well, this is interesting. This is politics coming out of Oregon. Let's take a look into the past and ask our listeners, do you remember the name Alex Skarlatos? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anyway, that's the former Oregon National Guard soldier who tackled a terrorist armed with a assault rifle with a 30-round magazine and 8 extra magazines, a 9mm Luger, automatic pistol, a utility knife, and gasoline. He tackled him and then shot him on the head with his own gun, and along with some friends and 5 other passengers, they brought this particular terrorist down and subdued the attacker, and they were all credited with saving the lives of about 554 fellow passengers. This was a train that was bound for Paris. It was in 2015. I'm sure you'll remember it, but anyway, Mr. Skarlatos, age 25 now, is now pursuing public office, and he's going to be tackling another kind of foe. He's running for Congress. He says, I'm running for Congress because it's time we have someone who will stand with Southern Oregon, the loggers, the veterans, the moms, dads, and families trying to make ends meet. It's time we have a congressman who will serve them, not the extremists in Washington, D.C. And he cites heavy taxes and regulatory burdens out there. And he's got some very considerable and significant support. And this is coming from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He says, Alex Skarlatos is a true hero and the right man to take on Peter DeFazio, a do-nothing Democrat that has lived off the taxpayers' dime for 30 years. And that's coming from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He's also got the backing of House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Senators Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, Dan Crenshaw, Michael Waltz, and Gus Bilirakis. And Mr. Skarlatos says, Oregon values are my values. And I'm going to follow his campaign because he seems like a very interesting guy.
Wow. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times follower on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
6:47, the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Some slowing traffic on westbound 66 still between the Beltway and Nutley Street, where you may still find one lane closed with road work. It is a bit heavy there. Beyond that, heading in towards Fair Oaks, everything is back up at speed. Now also keep in mind that in Leesburg, a portion of the Battlefield Parkway is closed between Russell Branch Parkway and Fort Evans Road for long-term road work. Meanwhile, if you are traveling in Bethesda, do keep in mind that on Old Georgetown Road northbound before the Beltway, the right lane is closed for water main repairs. And in Silver Spring, Eastbound University at Piney Branch Road, look for right lane construction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. Although it's muggy out there, now is the time to get your outdoor activities done. We're tracking scattered storm chances for the afternoon and evening, some of which could be strong to severe. As far as temperatures go, we'll reach highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the 90s, back into the 90s Sunday, feeling over 100. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
73 degrees at 6:49 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thank you for being with us on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Capitol Hill was the center of attention this week. And we are joined by Carrie Pickett. She's a senior campaign reporter for the Washington Examiner. Carrie, thanks for being with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's hit the topic that's most important to people as of this morning, and that's the latest on the coronavirus relief package. It's been a standoff between the Republicans and the Democrats. What's the status and what's next?
Well, it appears that we have the leaders of both parties they are meeting in the Capitol to try and hash something out, because it's already expired right now, that the unemployment insurance that added an extra $600 to the unemployment insurance has already expired, basically. And now the members of Congress have to figure out what to do next, because their package simply hasn't been passed yet. But the big crux right now, as far as the Democrats are concerned, is the fact that they don't want any sort of liability reform in this package. And that is a big red line for Donald Trump. He wants that in this package, because as far as he sees it, you had all these businesses who had to shut down, who were doing their best to stay afloat. Many of those businesses are not coming back, and the ones that have come back, they don't want to be sued by any of their employees who may get coronavirus and may end up blaming those businesses who ended up bringing them back.
They were firing volleys back and forth yesterday between President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mark Meadows, all really in a logjam. And what's the next step this morning?
You have the White House already, you know, became angry with the Democrats for rejecting four different offers to begin with. So really, the next step at this point is to figure out what dollar amount will the Democrats actually accept, because the Democrats want to spend more than the $3 billion in the bill that the House passed back in May, and the Republicans wanted to settle in on a $1 trillion bill, and the Democrats said no, we want our $3 trillion bill instead. And this is a big problem for both sides, because as long as they can settle in on a number, that's where they really need to go at this point, because frankly, as long as they can figure out what the package is going to cost, they're not going to go anywhere.
So Tuesday, a contentious hearing with Attorney General William Barr facing a hostile crowd of Democrats in the hearings. And the sense I got from watching was that the Democrats only wanted to pontificate. They really weren't looking for answers.
Yeah, that really does seem to be the case. But unfortunately, it seemed to have sort of blown up in their faces, because ultimately both sides of the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans, ended up criticizing how that whole hearing was actually handled, because, of course, you had Republicans who were exasperated by the fact that Bill Barr couldn't even get a response in to any of their questions, because every 2 seconds that he got some sort of word in after the question was asked, you would have the questioner say, "I reclaim my time." Now, the whole idea of reclaiming one's time or cutting off the witness was meant to stop the witness from filibustering. But here you had Barr, who didn't even get a chance to a filibuster. And it was something that was almost abused, so to speak. But then you had a number of Democrats, including Dan Goldman, who worked with Adam Schiff during the impeachment. He was one of the attorneys. And he criticized Nadler's opening statement. He was a critical of the line of questioning, said that they could have asked follow-up questions. You also had Preet Bharara, who is the former U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York, said that the hearing was, quote, disappointing and, quote, getting worse. You had a number of liberal outlets who said that the hearing was ultimately something that the Democrats, quote unquote, blew, and that was a complete failure. And why was this? Because if they wanted to catch Barr, they wanted to get Barr on anything, then let him talk. Let him say what he had to say, and then perhaps actually do some research and see if he ended up contradicting himself on anything in the past, maybe contradicting some of his subordinates. But they didn't even let him do that. So that was something that the Democrat side found to be very disappointing when it came to this hearing.
Contrast that hearing on Tuesday with the hearing on Friday with members of the Coronavirus Task Force.
Yeah, you had Anthony Fauci, who, when he was being questioned, there were some key points there. In one instance, you had Democrats who were trying to get him to say that the Trump administration's handling was a complete disaster, and he didn't end up saying that. He actually ended up saying that the Trump administration's handling it was actually pretty good. In the same light, you also had the Republicans, in this case Jim Jordan, who was asking him why is it that the standards of a crowding with a protest was being handled differently as opposed to gatherings over in a church, and he was sort of waffling on that. So both Democrats and Republicans didn't get the responses that they necessarily wanted, and so I think those are two really huge key moments there with that particular hearing.
And I also wanted to ask you about the demonstrations in Portland, because I know you've been following it very closely. The narrative from the mayor in Portland and the governor in Oregon is that the federal troops are the cause of the violence, and it makes no sense to me whatsoever how they can possibly think that and say that. But you followed it very closely. What's your sense of where the blame is to be placed?
Well, I spoke to some lawmakers about this, and it appears now that since the protest over in Portland, let's now simply say that the riots over in Portland, because that's what they've devolved into, it looks like the Democrat lawmakers are looking to lay blame on a number of, shall I say, quote-unquote, infiltrators who are coming in trying to ruin things for the, quote-unquote, peaceful protesters. And I have spoken with Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia. He has called some of the infiltrators, quote-unquote, agent provocateurs. He's also called them, quote-unquote, white provocateurs. So there are complaints. In fact, there's a real racial component going on here that because a lot of the violence that is being seen is being perpetrated by a white activist, that the Black Lives Matter movement is concerned that they are being blamed for a lot of the violent acts being perpetrated by white radicals.
Carrie Pickett at the Washington Examiner, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for the insight. And you can follow Carrie on Twitter at Carrie Pickett, and that's with one T. Carrie, thank you.
Sure thing.
It's 6:57 Saturday Morning Update, coming up 7 o'clock news, and we're back with John Gizzi, Attorney Jim Trusty, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland. Stay with us.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our weekend special. Save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing and free premium delivery on most beds when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
The re-election of Donald Trump
on Election Day 2020
would do irreparable damage to the United States.
Your home for common sense election coverage.
Can you imagine if these people treated me fairly?
This is 105.9 FM WMAL.
When you have a Wells Fargo checking account, you can pay for things with your phone's digital wallet. Janine and Jeannie will demonstrate on two checkout lanes. Janine unzips her purse to look for a debit card. Jeannie holds up her smartphone to the payment terminal and, she's done.
Thank you.
I swear I had it here yesterday.
Janine's still going through her purse. She's got a hairbrush, some gum.
I'm so sorry.
Well, just remember that you can pay quickly and simply with your phone's digital wallet when you have a Wells Fargo checking account. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station.